You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor. Everybody's happy. Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Monday, 20th day of December, 2010. So the Lord must wait for you to come to Him so He can show you His love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for His help. Isaiah 30:15. Friends, God longs to be gracious to us. It's all over the scripture. By His own choice, God created us, knowing that we would be obstinate, fickle, slow in responding to His love. He knew, and yet He put Himself in a place of waiting for us to come to Him so that He can show us His great love and His great compassion. Why does He do this? Why does He wait for us to respond to Him? Because He is faithful to us. His love isn't like the kind of love that you and I have, or even that we long for. His love is eternal, unfathomable, unconditional, and unfailing. And so He waits. And what's so ironic is that He waits for us to wait on Him when we've tried everything else, when we've panicked, obsessed, returned from running away, quit our procrastination, or stop trying to do everything by ourselves. He bids us to come to Him and wait for Him to love and help us. And when we wait on Him, He will bless us and He'll meet our deepest needs. So today I want to encourage you to quit hurrying, quit scurrying, and just come to Him. He's waiting for us to wait on Him. God, I admit that sometimes I do worry and hurry and scurry and just try to fix things myself, when if I would just be patient, You would take care of everything in due time, at the appropriate time, in Your time. So Lord, forgive me on those occasions that I don't trust You enough to just wait on You to be God, to be Lord of my life. So Father, I come today and all of my worries, all of my troubles, all of my woes, I'm just going to lay them at Your feet, because Your work is a finished work. And I'm just going to rejoice and be glad in this day that you have made. Not because it's perfect, but because you made it. And because you made it, it really is perfect in the eternal sense. So God, just guide me. Help me. And I ask you to bless me. To bless everyone listening to this program today. As we wait on you for all our needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, friends. Welcome to this fine Monday pre-Christmas edition of Prosperity for God's People. Hope you had a great weekend, got all your shopping done. Everyone in the studio audience who has completed their holiday shopping, please raise your hand. Okay. Well, for those of you who like to put it off for Christmas Eve, the good news is there's now a lot of 24-hour Walgreens, so you're still safe. Got plenty of time. Don't stress. Don't worry. Don't hurry. Don't scurry. Give it some good thought. Don't overspend. Make a wise choice. There you go. Christmas made simple. This morning, price is trading up at the 1242 level. The overnight, we came down to the 1235 weekly trading zone. We got about a 10-point range there overnight. Had about a 4-point drop coming off the open on Friday. Closed around, what was it, 1240? The overnight hit 35, so about a 5-point drop. So then we recovered that overnight, and then off the back of the London session, took it up to a high pre-market this morning, 1243 and change. Wow, there's actually one hand up that says they got their Christmas shopping done. Well, congratulations. Can't help but be impressed by that. I've always been the last minute Christmas Eve shopping guy. Something about the adrenaline rush. Now, it's become a little easier in the internet age because you can buy stuff online and print out coupons and certificates and plane tickets or whatever it might be. But I usually still go out and battle the mall for a couple of things to put under the tree. So I'll be out there come Friday. Yep. Now, there's been a lot of discussion over the past week as to what the schedule and format and hours and so forth and so on and et cetera would be for this week's program. Our guest David Williams had talked about taking the entire week off because he thought it was going to be slow. And then he changed that he was going to actually be working through Wednesday, which I have a feeling he might change that prior to Wednesday, depending upon how this market behaves. We've been open this morning now for almost 15 minutes, and we have a range of 2 points? Is that even possible? I guess it is. Let's get in a different time frame. Let me make sure that I'm on exchange time. I am. 8:30 exchange time. Yeah, got about a 2-point range. So, that kind of helps make my point. I'm going to do the show today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. But they're going to be abbreviated, mini, little, itty-bitty, teeny, tiny shows. In other words, we like to do a morning devotional, and then Bert comes on and tells us if there's any news. Michael pops in, talks about what he might be seeing. David comes on. We share with him for a bit, and then that's it. I'm not going to sit here and stare at a screen of nothing all day, and I don't encourage you to do that. Many of you may have time off for the holidays. Enjoy it. Take advantage of it. Spend time with the family. Throw football with the kids. Help the wife wrap gifts. Make figgy pudding. But sitting and staring at a chart of nothing is just, it's no good. It'll make you wonder why you ever even wanted to become a trader. So, now, with that said, I'll go back to the post that I put up last night. And this was kind of like, my Christmas wish. Now, what do you really want for Christmas, little boy? Well, here's what I would like. Will I get it? Probably not. But I could. Here we go. It appears to be a foregone conclusion by both institutional and retail traders that the upcoming pre-holiday trading week will be one of both low volume and low volatility. We have two thoughts on this. Earlier this year, our weekly trading zones had an average range from top to bottom of 100 points. The ranges are steadily contracted, and this week we are down to a 26-point range. From the highest weekly trading zone to the lowest weekly trading zone, that's it. A fourth of the volatility that we had earlier in the year. And that's based off prior price action. Although it's forecasting into this week, this week's action has not unfolded. So next week has the potential to be even smaller. So, point number two. When everyone agrees on anything, you should prepare for a surprise. Okay? So, given the opportunity, and, okay, we're sitting up at 1242. But given the opportunity, I'd like you to consider the idea of buying the 1225 area, the March S&P E-mini, for a potential advance into the end of the year. If price spikes below 1225, I think 1219, 1221, the number really is 1220, I'm just kind of hedging it there, point either side, should be bottom line support. And if that gets taken out, and this is a big picture trade, so if you entered at 25 and had a stop below 19, yeah, you're risking, you know, more than you would risk on a normal E-mini trade in the S&P, or at least more than I normally risk. I usually risk 2 points. Unless it's some bigger picture kind of thing, okay, where I'm looking for more than a 2-point reward. If this thing pulls back to 25, and you're willing, and your risk profile allows you to put on that size of a stop, no matter how many contracts you trade, and it does rally into the end of the year, in other words, if this came to pass, it could make for a very nice trade. And we believe that this 1225 number is a very important price. It may be tested several times before the advance actually gets underway. In other words, it may come down and touch it, bounce off of it, run up a bit, come back. You've heard me say that a lot. It's true. I say it just because it's true. Go look at charts, and you'll see that certain areas get tested over and over and over before price finally heads off in one direction or the other. Okay. I call those important prices because I don't have any better name for them. Why are they important? I don't have the reason for that. David has some reasons. He'll tell you that they're natural numbers. All I know is, for me, they're important simply because price keeps testing that level over and over and over. So, I don't know, it must be important, right? Or I wouldn't mess with it. Okay, so moving right along. Because of that behavior, if we get down to 1225, you might be able to get a couple of good trades off of 1225 before the thing finally gets underway. Now, you never know when it's actually going to get underway, if it's going to get underway. And so, by taking those first couple bounces, you might miss the one that takes off. On the other hand, if price pulls down to 1225 and you get an entry, okay, and it runs up 10 points, and you don't take those, and then it comes back to test the 1225 and fails the test, 10-point gain just became a 5-point loss. So my point here is that you've got to decide how you will manage that trade. And then don't change your battle plan in the middle of the battle when you're emotionally charged. Make a plan. Trade the plan. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. Plan the trade. Trade the plan. There you go. Okay. Now, because we think that number is important and could get tested a couple times, you may be able to get additional confirmation via your own indicators or methodology before actually putting on the trade. Now, of everything I said, this is the most important. Trading is risky, and you can lose all your money. Okay? Just keep that in mind. And, you know, trading is not easy, but it can be simple when the river's flowing. And that's the biggest dilemma we've had of late, is that the river has just not been flowing the way we have been accustomed to. So we have to either A, look at other markets, or B, be patient and wait for the river to start flowing again. Had a conversation with Ben from Traders Audio, who's on the floor of the exchange every day, and he called me up yesterday, and he was kind of down a little bit. He says, "Man, this is tough." He goes, "I look over at the crude pit, and those guys are just going to town." He goes, "And over here in the S&P pit, we're just kind of hanging out." He goes, "I'm confident that it'll turn around. It's going to take time." He goes, "But in the meantime," he goes, "man, it's just killing me." And I said, "You know, Ben, funny you should bring that up, because over the past week, we've actually been doing, Michael has been putting on some trades in the crude, because that's where we had to go, because that's where the river was flowing, that's where the volatility was. When does that change? I don't know. But I will go back to point two of that two-point thing, is that when everybody agrees that it's going to be quiet and go nowhere, there's just bound to be a surprise buried in there somewhere. So just be alert. Again, I don't encourage sitting and staring at these screens, because we're now 30 minutes into the session. And, well, let's just see here. Okay, we opened at 1243. We hit a high of 1243.50. We hit a low of 1241.75. Is that right? Okay, so the low, 41.75. The high is 43. Math don't fail me now, but is that 1.25 points? Yeah. Bert, are you there? Bert? Okay, I know he's in the room. He must be on the phone. They're having some issues with their platform this morning, which is one of two reasons why I'm running the TradeStation chart today. The second reason I'll share with you later in the week or next week. I'm not switching back to TradeStation at all. That's not what's going on. In fact, I found it a bit, trying to get them loaded up and going this morning, I found it a bit cumbersome because I've actually gotten used to and accustomed to the DT Pro platform. Thank you for helping me with the math there, Keith, if I got that wrong. 1.75 points.
Morning, Dwayne.
Hey, good morning, Bert.
I was getting coffee when you...
That's all right. 30 minutes into the session, we've got a range of 1.75 points.
You said it best about 5 minutes ago. I encourage everyone just to stay away from the screens or look at something else to trade. So.
I've been sitting in front of these screens for a long time, and I've been through, I don't know, the futures market. I guess I've been through 5 Christmases. This will be the 5th or 6th, or 5th, I think. Certainly the 4th full time. I don't know that I've ever seen the S&P 500 E-mini market open and only trade 1.75 points in the first 30 minutes of trading. I just don't think I've ever seen that. Doesn't mean the world's coming to an end or the sky is falling or any of that. It is what it is. I completely expected it to be slow. But, you know, even last week and in the previous weeks, at least at the open, we'd get some action and some movement. And then it would get really quiet, you know, stay in a couple-point range all day. And then maybe a little flurry of activity going into the close. But this is the quietest open I think I've ever seen. The range is now extended a little bit. 41.25. No, I guess it hasn't. I thought it did. Hope against hope. Raul asks, what causes such large moves on the Globex? It seems one would be better off staying up all night to trade, but I also realize that the moves are very slow at night. Well, Bert, would you like to address that question?
Well, fundamentals, you know, because this is now a global market, where things that are happening in Europe, in Asia, those fundamental pieces are fluctuating in the U.S. markets. So that's why you're getting a lot of volatility at nighttime, especially nowadays with the European debt situation always kind of floating toward the front page of the paper from now and then. And the stuff in South and North Korea and China, whether they're raising rates or not, there's just so much news going on in the middle of the night affecting the markets. Yeah, I mean, it almost feels like the 6E, where most of the stuff is what's affecting the markets during the course of our day was a result of news that happened overnight. So yeah, there's some validity to that, and you can trade at night, you know, just. There's nothing wrong with it. Michael does it a lot. You know, from time to time, I'll do it. Usually, if I'm trading at night, it's just to defend a position. Moving stops up, maybe take a profit, that kind of thing. I rarely initiate anything new overnight from a personal standpoint. But,
And really, the only reason we're having this conversation is because it's just gotten so quiet in the daytime.
There's nothing going on. And that's okay. It's okay to sit on your hands.
I mean, for so long, David has said that, and still says that, you know, his methodology does not even embrace the overnight session. Mm-hmm. Because it's like a shadow market, and it doesn't have full participation. He has a number of reasons why, but I'm sure that if the markets were to stay this way, which I don't think they will, he would have to rethink that. Mm-hmm. Because the U.S. market has been the shadow market here of late. It's been the one when, you know, there's been some participation, but the moves just... I've got the 6E up right now. I got the right symbol on this thing. I know it's different over here on this platform. ECH11.
It's like a minute delay there. That parenthesis. Oh, no.
No, this is delayed on this.
It should be 6E11. Oh, is this... Oh, trade station.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's right, the trade station.
So we had, on Friday, we had a pretty good down move in the 6E. But this is a 30-minute chart, by the way. Good morning, Michael.
good morning, by the way.
So, I mean, not even much activity here. Back to that 30-minute chart. Keith brought me up to date. On the opening 30 minutes, we had a range of 2.25 points. I was saying, Michael, I don't know how long you've been tuned in, but I've decided that this week, as far as my end of it, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I'm going to open up, say good morning, put the charts on, do the little morning devotional, ask Bert what's up, ask you what's up, ask David what's up, and then I'll leave the charts running, or you can leave your charts running, but I'm just not encouraging anyone to sit and stare at the screens all week.
All right.
So, but I mean, you're welcome to, you know, however much time you want to spend with the guys. I just encourage everybody to go, you know, embrace life. Because the market.
Finish Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
Start for some people.
Yeah, I haven't even.
Yeah, I agree.
I haven't even started to think about it, much less do it. I usually at least have some kind of half-baked idea. Well, to be honest, the only person I buy a gift for is my wife. She takes care of everything else. God bless her. She does. And so,
yes.
In that respect, I'm blessed. She doesn't even anymore really force me to go to the mall and traipse around with her, carry packages. She just silently does it. And then when it's handing out the gifts time, I get to stand there and she lets me get credit. And so I think that's pretty awesome.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. That is pretty awesome. Well, for the week for me, it's going to be, I have stuff going on all week, it seems like. I have an appointment today, the consult.
Okay.
That I mentioned last week I have today, but it was moved to this afternoon. So I'm not going to be coming back this afternoon for the final hour. The consult is at 2:30, so you know, it'll probably take an hour anyway, and I'm not even sure where it is. So I have that this afternoon, then I have an appointment tomorrow morning at 10:30, then I have another one. The actual procedure is going to take place on Wednesday at 1:30, I think, something like that. So I won't be back for the final hour on Wednesday either, probably. But that's what my week looks like as far as appointments go. So, you know, it's going to be,
okay.
I'm going to be all over the place. You know, tomorrow morning, in the first hour, I'll try to get in here early. The first half an hour or so, anyway. You know, 9:30 to 10 or something like that.
Okay. Well, is there any enlightenment you want to bring to us this morning? Any share?
Crude traded pretty well this morning in the wee hours. The euro is, if you look at your 30-minute chart on the euro, if you look at my 30-minute chart on the euro, it's really, really messy. There's not really anything you can do there.
Would you like me to pass you the charts?
Yeah, sure, if you want. You gotta make me organize it. And then you can pass them to me. Where are your DT Pro charts?
Something happened.
You did the upgrade.
They're in the shop.
You did the upgrade. I did the upgrade on one computer and I couldn't open them after I did it. So I have this one here I wasn't going to do the upgrade on.
Okay, did you get Organizer?
I did.
Okay.
All right, now let's take a look at the audience view here. All right. These are
my
crude charts over here.
A few minutes ago on the crude, and Ben had called me over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear me? Were you listening?
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, he called me yesterday, and he said, you know, he goes, this is making me crazy. And he goes, I look over at the guys in the crude pit. He goes, it looks like they're having a party over there. Hey, you know, buying and selling. And he goes, in the S&P pit, everybody's just, they're filing their nails and just... He goes, I know it'll turn around, but in the meantime, he said, you know, this is my livelihood. It's killing me. So I said, we understand. We started looking at crude this past week with a serious eye, you know, because you gotta go where there's some movement.
Gotta go where there's a market.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, the results of my, I traded one contract on crude this morning, and I got 28 ticks from it.
Nice.
It was pretty good on one contract. The market is really, really thin. I mean, it's pretty thin right now. Look at it.
Yeah.
But it's even more thin in the wee hours of the morning. So, I mean, I could enter right here, and it would put my entry down here somewhere. Or up here, or whatever the case may be. But it works out. Or at least it worked out last night. But you can see there were some pretty decent moves in here. And, you know, selling off resistance, buying off support. That's all there was going on. I think it was after the football game last night. So it was right around in here. And then I put one on this morning, too, at some point. Before we went to school. Took the kids to school, so it was right in here. Pretty sure.
Before school, after school, before, after football games.
After football games.
Beauty.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do it during the football game, because it was actually a nail-biter last night.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at that.
Yeah, I was too. I think the Patriots were surprised at that.
But we appreciate it. Bears fans do.
Some yeah.
Lots in the Packers category, so.
Yeah. It seems the Packers have some depth at quarterback, though.
Yeah, it does. The kids out of LSU, that's a good program, so.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a very good program. Yeah, just like Brady, he's probably just waiting for his opportunity.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, Brady was a second or third string when he was at Michigan, and then when he got to the Patriots, he was second string until Bledsoe got hurt.
Yeah. Looks like Matt Castle's the same way, but
yep.
Kansas City.
Yep.
Yeah. On a side note, we got out of that gold last night. So we got out of it 1383, some at 85, some at 82. So we took a few hundred bucks off the table, and now we're flat to gold. So, like I said, from time to time, if I see something, I'll make an announcement.
Mm-hmm.
See if we can't stir some things up. You guys get a view on how I kind of look at things.
The bigger picture.
Bigger picture. That didn't last very long, but there was some writing on the wall that we might drop here, so I figured let's make everyone happy, take some money off the table before going into Christmas and go from there.
Yeah, speaking of that, I'll send it to you in the chat in here.
Okay.
So this is this is the crude. Let's flip over to the ES. See, it just moved down a little bit. See, the DMT is starting to give us some red here, but we're right into support right here on the 2100 anyway. Here's the gold. Now, for those of you who weren't aware, Bert was saying he was just bailing out of the gold. I'm at 1383, 1387, or 86, up in that range. He went long gold last week on a stop at 1375, right?
Isn't that where it went? 1375.70 was the fill, so...
1375.70, yeah. I mean, you gave the exit. You didn't give the entrance. So, yeah. But I put that in there for you.
No, that's good. That's excellent.
The ES is starting to tank a little bit right here. But we have a little bit of a gap, right? If we go back to Friday's close was
Over
here.
That put us at 38.5, call it?
Yeah, right in here, right in this area. Looks like we're going down to fill that up right now.
Well, the other thing, too, is you notice we did run the stops above the hourly double top. So anybody defending their short position against that 1242 quarter,
mm-hmm.
they're probably out of the box or probably flat. And I thought we'd push the 46 and then maybe roll over. But with that move that we had last night, we should have knocked some weak shorts out of the market. So we will see.
Time will tell.
Yeah, actually a little movement right now. Now there's no... Was there any news out today, Bert?
None at all.
Nothing today, nothing tomorrow. This is pretty close to the gap right there. Right there. That's the gap. Yeah, this is going to be a long, long day, long week, I imagine.
I mean, this drop we're getting right here, that's...
It's significant, actually.
Well, I mean, to go from such a quiet open to... It's hard to imagine that it wasn't some kind of news somewhere, but... I mean, and I was saying this earlier, you know, everyone is saying this is going to be a quiet, low volume, low volatility week. And just because... That's what everybody's saying. There has to be a surprise in there somewhere. So again, our trade of the week is to try to get long down at 1225 with a stop just below 1220. And that's a bigger picture swing trade into the end of the year kind of scenario. Mike Reed, on the other hand, has a rather bearish outlook. And you can... if you're not on his mailing list, you should get on it. But if you go to his website, TradeStalker.com, on the free day trading videos page, he put up a brand new video yesterday. And some of his internal indicators that he uses are looking pretty bearish. So you can check that out. And if he pops in this morning, which I'll probably be gone by the time he is able to pop in. But I'll ask him to come on in the morning, and maybe tomorrow morning I'll play that video.
All right. Those are the weekly trading zones I just put in there.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, I mentioned this earlier too, Michael. Earlier in the year, the average weekly range for the trading zones was 100 points average from the highest zone to the lowest zone, 100-point range. This week, it's been steadily contracting. but now it's down to 26 points.
Wow. Yeah. Well,
if we stay inside of that range, and if we actually stay inside of the projected range for this week, then next week's going to be even tighter. So.
Well, it's normal for it to contract a little bit this time of the year, but it's been that way for a while. I mean, you know, you were talking to Bert about the Globex, and I've been saying for the longest time that that's where the movement has been. You know, well, the market, the Dow will open up 180 points, and then it will only move 15 points from 9:30 to 4:30, 9:30 to 4. You know what I mean?
Question, can you show the move to midnight?
The move to midnight. Let me go to a different chart.
And while you do that, I'm gonna pop off and make a quick phone call, and I'll be right back.
Okay. All right. Here, we'll do it on a 2-minute chart. Okay. I would. I need more data. There we go. Do you mean the move on what? On crude or on the ES? Because this was the ES last night. Gotten quite a few requests for that kind of stuff, you know, for other markets, not so much the ES, but for other markets. You see, we're right down in the weekly trading zone here. Need to change. It suddenly got very, very quiet in here. You guys can hear me all right, right? So I went short right here on the close down below resistance. I actually went short here, and I bought it back right here. I should have gotten more than three ticks, but all I got was three. This is where the volume is on the crude, this contract. So this is where we're going to trade. The 6E's moving a little bit over there. Let's go back to the 2100. We're stuck here on the 2100 now. We filled the gap. Go over here and we flip to a daily. What was the close of this bar? Right about here, right? So we've filled the gap and stalled in a weekly trading zone.
Are going to open up in a few minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's see.
There's nothing. Will we still be in January at the beginning?
Yeah, stay in Jan until the end of the week, and then we'll roll it over to March. I mean, theoretically, Jan has until the end of December. But everything will start rolling over into March here shortly.
I just rolled the crude forward.
Oh, good idea.
Because all the volume is on the volumes here in the G.
Okay. No, good idea. Over the weather in Argentina. The rains that fell over the weekend were too far north to benefit the dry areas. We have a short week, so that likely seems to a concern about low volume, which often leads to more volatile moves during this time frame. So the point being is that with the lack of volume, it's not going to take much to kick the market around. So you might have some exaggerated moves that otherwise might not be there if there was, you know, a full schedule.
Good stuff. Carol, thankfuls for those videos again, or the emails about the dogs. My kids love dogs. Jake, you know, I remember I think I told you that we go to Connecticut twice for the Christmas thing, once a week early and once, you know, Christmas Eve. And so we went down there on Saturday, and Jake got this thing, all the Cyclops or something like that, but it was a car, and the wheels open up, make it, I don't know, it looks like it could probably walk on water. But
Transformer?
No, it's a car. It's just a car, and when you press this button and the wheels, when they spin around, they open up like these huge, I don't know, they just expand, and they become bigger wheels. And anyway, the thing's really, really reactive. And fast, and it can flip over. It can go on either side. It can flip all the way over and keep going. And he and I play this game where I chase him with the car, and try to hit him, and he tries not to get hit. Well, we were doing that yesterday with this car, and it's really fast. Normally, I have a hard time catching him. You know, with the remote control cars. I have a hard time catching him. And with this thing, I was nailing him all the time. Then he got the dog involved.
Uh-oh. Was it a little puppy where it just whips around?
Well, she's not a big dog. She's a little dog. She's about the size of a beagle.
Gotcha.
And you know, and she's relatively young. She's a year old now. So she's in here with me. Yeah, there she is right there. She was going nuts to begin with. And then she finally figured it out because the wheels expand. They're kind of soft.
Mm-hmm.
Just figure out the wheels were. That's the place you had to bite it.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Cool. She's grabbing it by the wheels, and then if I kept going, she'd swing it in circles. She'd be going around backwards in circles, swinging this car around by a wheel. That was fun.
Oh, I got the Christmas cards.
Oh, you did?
Cards. Yeah. My wife's like, who is this? I'm like, that's Mike's family. He's like, who's Mike? Like, Mike Bork, you know, from Massachusetts. What? Who are these people? Like, I talk to him every day, probably, you know, a dozen times a day. I talk to him more than I talk to you on a daily basis.
Yeah, I know. That's funny.
Say, oh, okay. Good stuff. Yeah. Oh, 1 second.
So we had to move off of support here on the crude. You guys remember, John, are you in here right now? John. F-G-H-I-J-O-H. Yes, you are in here, John. We were talking about, that's good, okay. Thank you for not, not look all the way up. We're talking about selling support. I mean, selling resistance and buying support. So we'll be looking to sell this resistance here if we get the opportunity. The cycle is agreeing with us here. Okay. I'm getting ready to sell it over here. All right, we'll sell this if we get a close down below here. I think it should happen probably. 87.80. Probably. 87.80, 87.90, 87.88,
87.89. Somewhere in that range.
What's that, Mike? I am looking to sell crude right in this area. The market's really thin today, so I'm not jumping in with both feet here. We're about to get popped on that. This dragonfly doji right here was my notice, was my warning that we're probably going to go up. So we just gotta let it go for a few minutes here. I'm gonna go back and look at the beans now. The beans have opened up. Oh, geez. That's all the beans could muster. Let's see, what other market can we look at? The ZB. Who was it that wanted to look at the ZB the other day? Zero bonds. ES is catching a little bit of a bid here. Bouncing out of the weekly trading zone into the support dots here. The NQ. Okay, let's take a look at that. Soybeans are flat. Here is your NQ. So everything is overbought in here. It's all overbought. go back to it, Dave. So we're looking for the NQ to roll down a little bit here, right now. This is resistance right here. So it's going to have to print another support. It'll probably print it right around here, I imagine, 2208. It looks like the ES is going right back down into the weekly trading zone here. We don't have a long setup because we don't have any blue anywhere. All right, let me go look at the crude again quickly. Okay. And I'll come back and take another peek at the NASDAQ. NASDAQ is starting to roll over a little bit, but it's probably going to bounce off these resistance tops, I would think. I had said 2208 is where I think it's going to print support, right in this range, probably. We'll see. Okay. Not there yet. This one right here, Davis? And this was the bottoming one? This is what you mean? This one and this one. And now over here on the NQ, we have this one up here. Right? And now over here on the 6E. We have this one. Oh, oh, oh. Okay. My father stuck that in my head over the weekend.
you still there?
Oh, yeah.
I really apologize. We had a $12,000 bank wire to Africa go missing somewhere in the African banking system. And we're trying to locate it and track it down. And so I was making a few phone calls and trying to...
Okay. Well, you can go take care of that if you have to.
No, because there's really nothing else I can do at this point until 9 a.m. Arizona time, when my personal banker shows up so that he can... I've done everything that an outsider can do to trace it and track it. I got to wait for somebody, an insider, who can get in there and get into their system. And another group had sent money to the same account, and it ended up in a completely different bank. And they said, yeah, the money's just sitting here. And so they had to recall their funds. So I've got to tell my banker when he gets there to recall our funds. So it's not like somebody, it's just some mix-up. We've been sending money, wires, for years. 10 years now it's been. And we've never had one go astray or get lost or, you know, get stolen, or which I think is pretty amazing.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, good morning, David. Welcome to the show.
How are you?
Good.
No, thank you very much. I thought you were going to say we've been sending wires for 10 years and we've never had one get there.
That's what you would think.
Yeah. No, they're all going into that account that I keep getting emails about that I have
right.
My name on it somewhere.
I don't mean to diminish the Africa as a financial center, but I somehow picture people putting X's in the sand and sort of on a beach to try to keep track of how much money you have in their bank.
You know, what's really, as poverty-stricken and with all of the problems and woes that company has, the people are, like, if you walk into a bank, you're going to encounter, even at the teller level, some very articulate, very intelligent, extremely well-educated people.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are no jobs, so they pursue education, you know, by hook or by crook, however they can get it, because it's
mm-hmm.
only with that education that they have any hopes of getting any kind of a decent job. And so
mm-hmm.
the person who is the bank teller there in Africa at Barclays Bank,
mm-hmm.
they're probably at an educational level of, I don't know, like a vice president here in America at Bank of America. I mean, they've got years
wow.
and years and years of school. It's really amazing. And I know the first time 10 years ago when I wired $5,000 to buy the first piece of land to Africa, I remember standing at the bank going,
mm-hmm.
oh, man, I'll never see this again, you know. And off it went.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, everything went just fine. Just fine.
Oh.
And it has ever since, so I'm encouraged by that.
Oh, that's great.
But then you get out
that
into the
great.
Street, get outside of that bank, get outside of professional offices and get into the streets, and then it's everything, every nightmare you ever heard about or could imagine it is. So two very different
yeah.
worlds on that continent there.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Dwayne, I know that today is very quiet in the market again, and we're you know seeing more holiday behavior, but today's session, the opening of the session, did complete the roadmap that we'd mentioned on your program last week, which we came out with on Thursday, which was that the market would advance from 35 up to 43/44, basically an 8-point move on the upside. They took a little bit more time getting there, primarily because of the slowness of the market. I mean, overall, this is the overall slowness, but today's session did get up on the pit session and did reach the 43.50 level, right between the 43.44, and they're reacting off that right now. So this is, for us at least, that is some movement, and it is helpful to potentially put a trade on. But we originally were going to not be online after Friday. We decided, partially because of you and CFRN being on, to stay on one more day. And so, or at least one more day. We might stay on into Wednesday this week, but chances are you're probably going to see a little bit, I don't know for sure, but we may see a slowdown in the market even more, and that may stop us. You know, we may end up closing it today or tomorrow. It just depends on how the market plays out today. And having said that, real briefly, and I hope I'm not interrupting anything, but I, Michael, if you were in the middle of something there when we came on.
No, there is nothing to be in the middle of here.
Okay. Anyway, the market has set up a 15-minute reflected wave bottom here that will potentially, if we go any lower than this, will trigger a larger bottom. So as long as they stay above that 30, anything below today's low, basically. Matter of fact, if you give me a minute, I'll give you the exact number. Yeah, if we break today's low, there's a likelihood that we'll trigger a larger bottom here. But there may be some buying territory right here where we are. 38's a number listed in our panel, and we're hoping to be able to get long here for at least a tradable bounce on the upside. And then other than that, other than the roadmap from last week, you know, we are roughly, we're longer term still bullish here, looking for substantially higher prices. Now, that's not an outright forecast, but it's more like there's just natural numbers on the upside that we're looking for, and we'll wait and see how the market plays out on that. But right now, we're still very much inside the ongoing uptrend, the larger ongoing uptrend that we've been in, and we're hoping to see the market continue to confirm the outlook for the natural higher prices, which I believe are in the 1267 to 1269 area. So this morning's, you know, false breakout, doing the 4344 and then failing, is initially bearish because the market couldn't sustain those prices. But we'll see how the market plays out a little bit later today, and there might be a trade. Now, Dwayne, your program is on for a little less time today, is that correct? Because we're on early today.
Yeah, we're going to do about an hour, hour and a half
okay.
Today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And mm-hmm. So as soon as we finish chatting here, we're going to leave charts running, and, you know, Bert might come in and talk later on, or Michael may. Michael's got an appointment, so he won't be back today. But, yeah, it's just going to be a very short, abbreviated session. So if, you know, you can pop in about 7:15, 7:30 Pacific time tomorrow, that would be great.
Okay. Well, great, yeah.
Feel free to pop in sooner if you want, but very much
okay.
After that we'll be gone. So.
Okay.
Unless there's some big, huge shift, some big change, some dynamic, and, you know, there's
sure.
I just don't see that happening.
Okay, sure. Now, I'm out of the office today. I'm not even at the office today. I'm actually in California, and I'm wondering, are you able to hear me okay on this connection?
I hear you perfect.
Okay, fair enough. Well, good, yeah. So we'll see if we can get a little bit more of a viable bottom here from this pullback. And then if people would like, let me just give a couple numbers here on the downside that we're watching anyway. We have the 1238 level, which is what they've tested so far. I think today's low has been 1237.50. That's initial support. Right below that is 1236. You have to understand also, when you look at numbers that are close together, it's just exactly the same as numbers that are far apart. It's just that they're close together, but they're still meaningful as separate numbers. When the volatility gets very low, the ranges compress, and when the ranges compress, numbers sound very close together. But in most cases, you'll see the numbers act just like they do as if they were far apart. Like instead of, like right now, we have 38 and below that 36.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that could be just as the market could react to 38 just the way, same way it would if it was reacting off of 38 and the next level down was, say, 28, 10 points lower. But in this case, it's only 2 points lower at 36. But you'll still see the market, and it is right now, reacting off 38. So when people are using the support and resistance panel, at least in our work, and the numbers are closer together, it doesn't mean that that's a range of numbers that they're going to kind of, you know, run into and bang back and forth between. It means that the market should bounce at 38, and then later, if it gets below that, then 36 is the next level below that. So keep that in mind for people who are using the support and resistance panel. They're only close together. The meaningfulness of the numbers remains the same, but the closeness of them being together is there because of the reduced volatility in the market. But the meaningfulness of each individual number is the same as if they were far apart. So that's something I just wanted to mention. We haven't really talked about that before, but at least in our work, when the numbers get closer together, it doesn't mean that we're just laying numbers out so that we can try to get lucky and hit one of them or something. They're just as important as numbers that would be distant from each other, but the low volatility forces, because volatility and support and resistance are two kind of sides to the same coin. Volatility and support and resistance run together. So when volatility is low, the market is going to respond to levels that it normally would not respond to because the volatility is low. When it gets higher, the market's going to reach for further numbers, just more distant numbers. And so there's a principle there. I won't go into all to it right now, but that's part of how support and resistance works, is that it's related to volatility, not just to simple overlays of the market saying this is, you know, here's a fib number or here's some other type of overlay of where the market should go. It is related to volatility. So that may be something as a clue that people can take a look at for themselves and take a look at that. Having said all that, Michael Bork, I would be curious to see how you're seeing the market today, or if you are just bored to tears and wish you were in Africa, in that banking system, working for the banking system in Africa.
The rate of return over there seems to be pretty high.
That's
what I get. And all the emails that I get from there, that's...
That's beautiful. Oh, that is funny. Yeah, I get those emails too, and the rate of return seems very high, especially since the people that are returning the money to you all have uncles who are in high-level government positions and have lots of money that they need to move out of the country, and they just need your help to do that.
That's all they need.
Send $25,000 or $30,000.
And give them my social security number, my address, and maybe send them a picture of myself. And
right. You're good to go.
That's all they need. They'll put it right in my bank account. I got one the other day that was actually pretty creative. They said that they had already wired $5,000 and it was waiting for me at a Western Union. And,
wow.
And they sent me the number and the name and all that stuff so I could follow up on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what we're referring to for people who don't know is that there's a scam that's been going on for literally 10 or more years coming out of Nigeria. I think they call it the 419 scam or something like that, where you'll get an email from somebody who's asking you to help them move large sums of money in the millions out of Nigeria, and that there's very high-level people involved, and that if you agree to do that, then they ask you to actually send them some money so that they can release something from some lockbox or any number of different reasons so that you can then get your hands on the big money. Because they're going to pay you, let's say they bring $20 million supposedly to the United States, they're going to pay you, you know, 10% of that or something. And believe it or not, as bad as this may sound, because I have friends that are involved in this, I have three friends who have together have lost over $2 million.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, one of them is an attorney here in Las Vegas.
Really?
Yes.
And he lost money doing that?
Yes, because what these people have understood and figured out is that greed has no intelligence. And by sending emails to people, I'm not going to go into the details right now, but I could on one of your programs. One of our customers from many, many years ago got involved in this, and the story is so ugly, and the way that it turned out, it was just just the most incredible human nature story I've ever practically been involved with. I mean, if you want, I can tell it to you very briefly.
Sure, go ahead.
This was a fellow who was very well spoken, elderly, and a lot of the elderly are the people who get nailed on this.
Right.
It appears that the elderly, when they have a lot of money sitting around, if they've accumulated money, what they do is they want to get that one big hit out of life. You know, they want to get that home run, something, the big trade, the big, you know, because they've worked hard to accumulate their money, and this particular scam has all the details of that working for them. So, anyway, what happens is what happened to this particular fellow is he got involved in it, and he actually traveled to Nigeria and spoke to people, met actual people that were involved in it, and he ended up transferring over $600,000 over a number of, like, 2 years. They sent him, believe it or not, newspaper clippings from Nigeria showing that he was awarded a contract for some kind of a pipeline deal that had been done earlier, and that the money that had been put into escrow for that pipeline or something was now awarded to him. They actually went ahead and made like a newspaper article and sent that to him. They did all kinds of very extensive things to get him to believe. Anyway, this is the ugly part. In the end, he actually, believe it or not, I know this sounds so bizarre, he pulled a gun on his wife and forced her to transfer her savings, which were about $100,000 that she had earned being a teacher, so that he could take that money and send it to them. So
wow.
That's the ugly part.
Wow.
And I couldn't believe it. And then just about maybe 2.5 years ago, he phoned me, believe it or not, to ask again for me to participate, because the money was now in a lockbox in an airport in, you know, LaGuardia or something, and all he needed was X number of dollars to get that money out. It's just incredible. And once they get into this, once they've sent some money, they get looped in, they start sending more and more. It's an amazing thing to see what happens in human nature with this. So he was one. Another friend of mine had lost over $500,000 in a similar one where they said put the $500,000 in a local bank and it won't be touched. And lo and behold, that money disappeared. And finally, this attorney. So there are different versions of the same scam. So if, you know, people, I mean, do I really need to say it? If it sounds too good to be true, it isn't. They should change that saying, by the way. If it sounds too good to be true, it's a Nigeria 419 scam, because that's about all there is that's left out there that sounds too good to be true, except for those bracelets that you wear that balance your energy so that it balances your life. You know, the ones that you see on TV. I don't know if you've seen that. All right, I won't go on about the bracelet.
That's all good. No, I had never gotten one of those, like the one that I got with, you know, the information, with the Western Union information. I did.
Yeah, that's new.
That's
what I'm saying.
I did
go
and look it up, and obviously there was nothing to it, but it would have been interesting if they did actually put money into a Western Union transfer just to some random guy, which is what I was, a random guy, and send an email to see if they could sucker me into it.
Yeah, no, they've gone to all kinds of new lengths to really show that it's really real, and it's amazing. You have to be very careful not to get involved in any of that, because very smart people do. You'd be surprised that you'd think dumb people are involved, but they're not. It's actually very smart people who just are tired of working hard for money. They just want a home run, and this sounds like a home run to them. So
I'm going to look forward to my email here and see if I can find it, that one that I got. I probably deleted it.
Some of them are quite creative. Some of them are just so bad that you can't imagine anyone could ever possibly. But there was they did a sting on 2020 or one of those, wasn't 60 Minutes, I think it was 2020, where the guy got one of the emails and they followed through the whole trail until he actually met up in person with this guy.
They actually went in person there and they nailed him too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that's great. again, I just want to say, it's intelligent people do it. It's not a matter of intelligence. It's a matter of greed. That's what it is. And they're playing on that greed, and greed doesn't have a lot of intelligence in it, even if you're an intelligent person.
Yes. Yeah, there's no IQ number.
Yeah, for greed. there just can't be.
No, there can't be.
That's a bumper sticker.
And of course they figured this out. I mean, they could send emails that say, "I live in Africa. I'm poor. I'm sick. I'm hungry. Would you please send me a few dollars to help me out?" They figured out early on that didn't work. The emails that worked were the ones that says, "Hey, I can make you rich beyond your wildest dreams." Those ones worked.
That's right.
Your
I
friend
know.
That sent all of his money and, you know, pulled the gun on his wife, or your, you know, this guy that you just talked about, you know.
Yeah.
Had he gotten the email that just said, "I'm sick and hungry and I need medicine."
Well,
you know, he may have sent some money, but I don't want to say that he's not a kind gentleman and wouldn't have sent some money based on that, but I bet he wouldn't have ever pulled a gun on his wife to send money.
Well, at the point that he did that, just so everyone understands, he had been led down the path and the money had been getting supposedly closer and closer to where he was until finally it was just in a lockbox practically right down the street from him.
Gotcha.
And all he had to do was pay this last $100,000 to pay off some colonel in some, you know, high-level place so that they allowed it through. There's always these high-level mysterious people. And so he, at that point, had bought into it entirely. And that was the last $100,000 that they had. So he, you know, essentially forced it out of her. And I just had never seen anything like that in my life. That was just an amazing human nature story. So
that is amazing.
Anyway, there's my depressing addition to humanity for the day. If you need anything else depressing, give me a call. I'm available. A new website, www.davesdepressingstories.com.
You bring new meaning to Suicide Hotline.
Yeah, it's a suicide hotline, essentially.
Yeah, we'll talk you right into it.
Look, there's really nothing to live for. It's all bad. You know it's all going to go bad anyway. Even if it's good now, it's going to go bad. So you know that.
Eventually.
Yeah. You know, that food in your refrigerator, you know, it's good today, but it's going to be bad tomorrow. You know, it's going to go bad. Everything goes bad. You know, you know, you could talk people into anything. You have to find a reason to stay alive other than money. You have to find a reason to stay alive other than getting something. You know, you have to just be happy with the fact that you are alive, and you know that there's endless possibilities for you if you can just get off the idea that, you know, everything needs to end badly, because that's how a lot of these people think. That's another site, www.itsgoingtoendbadly.com.
Yeah. All right.
Well, Dwayne, I think I've given my
you did good.
Contribution to your program this morning.
Outstanding. Well, enjoy yourself on your vacation there, your mini working vacation.
Thank you very much, and I'd like to wish, if depending on whether we're here tomorrow or not, and we may be, but if not, I'd like to wish everybody a really wonderful Christmas. It's not going to end bad. It's going to be great. You've got endless possibilities. You just don't know it, and I'm here to tell you.
Four and a half days left to shop.
And like I said last week, get somebody a nice pillow. It's a
what
good
was
gift.
The name of that pillow again?
Hollander.
Hollander, okay.
Yeah,
I was trying to think of that yesterday.
They have low-end and high-end pillows. But anyway, Dwayne, so, and Michael, you guys have a nice afternoon. We'll talk tomorrow, most likely. And if not, then I wish everybody a really great Christmas. And I'll be here. I'll get online with you tomorrow for sure.
All right, good. Well, we'll be here.
Okay, buddy. Thanks so much, and I'll talk to you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care, dude.
Bye-bye, Mike.
So, Michael, are you going to... You gonna hang around, or You taking off?
Yeah, I'm going to hang around. I'm going to hang around for a little while longer. It's really all we can do to find anything to trade here. Here on the crude, we had a little something we could have done, but I was distracted when I was looking at that. I was distracted anyway. But right in there, we could have gone short, but I didn't. I switched over on the crude, by the way, to the more active one here, the GCLG. Okay, I rolled it forward. We were on the F, but I rolled it forward this morning. There was no volume on it after the open here. The other one is actually where I made the money this morning in the pre-market. Sorry. Where the heck is it? Yeah, here it is. But it was on the GCLF that I made 28 ticks this morning.
Well, if all the people that were in this room right now would start trading, we'd have a market.
Yeah, we probably have enough people in here to make a market.
We got half the market participants in this room right now, so.
Yeah. Well, let's flip over to the ES. It's gone down a little bit more. Here, it tried to build up a long in here out of the weekly trading zone, but it didn't happen.
You know, and that was a nice classic short on the 2100 there, except for. Yeah, you were right at the zones, and you had the support, but it's just tough with these with the zones so close together. It just makes it difficult. Interestingly, David mentioned some numbers, the 38, and then also I think he mentioned the 36, which are numbers that we have, and he arrives at his numbers completely differently than we arrive at our numbers, but the fact that they matched up... tells you those are kind of key areas, and so the market may find that as some kind of center of gravity. Again, I really like the 1225 as a spot to get long if the market gets down there and gives us the opportunity. But be frugal with it and manage it well and make sure you have a stop. But I think between that 1220, 1225 area, it's a good place to get long for a potential. And I, doing a little air quotes in the a potential rally into the end of the year. So I put that out on the blog last night, read it this morning, and so I won't bring it up again unless it actually becomes a trade that's in play. We're still well above it right now. But the way we dropped off the, after the first half hour, a couple more of those would put us right down there. So. All right, Michael, well, if you're going to hang out, I'm going to charts will stay running, guys. I'll be back again tomorrow morning. I'm just going to wrap the podcast, and then you'll have an open mic, Michael. And if you need me for anything today, I'm going to be around. I'll be here at my desk working. I'll be reachable by email or text or phone, or same for you, Bert, if you're tuned in. I know we need to talk, so just feel free to call me whenever. To the rest of you guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.